shortage on God's love. There's a shortage on fuel, a shortage on gas, got a shortage on wood, a shortage on glass. The things that we've wasted are now precious to buy. You know there's even a shortage on the air in the sky. But I know a great thing there's no shortage of. There's no shortage on God's mercy, no shortage on God's love. God is love and mercy unending. His precious love will leave you no doubt. When from Satan you need defending, God has supplies that will never run out. Da 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 da. There's a shortage on friendship, a shortage on smiles. There's a shortage on neighbors, though they're millions for miles. Thank heaven for one thing there's no shortage of. There's no shortage on God's mercy, no shortage on God's love. There's no shortage on God's mercy, no shortage on God's love. Da 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 da.
You didn't want that to end, did you? All right, turn in your Bibles to the history book of our New Testaments, the book of Acts, chapter 3. We're going to look at that here in just a few moments. Acts chapter 3. Little story that might be familiar to most of us, but it does pay to go back and review once in a while. 21 years ago, I won't forget it, neither will a few others in this church. that was the year that Lord of the Rings came out, first movie. Love that movie. I love that series, Lord of the Rings. And part of that first movie was about them going, searching for the ring, I believe. And the group that they put together to do such a thing was called the Fellowship of the Ring, or the Fellowship of the Group. Well, that was the year that we decided, a few of us here in this congregation, would form a fellowship. And there were eight of us. And we decided, because we had a missionary in Japan, that we were going to go visit him. He was going to be who we were in search of. He put the word out that he needed help for a special event. And so there were eight of us. And we became known as the Fellowship of the Eight. Four of those eight are still here in the building today. And three of the eight were young people who have grown up and moved away. And then only one has still in the area. She was not, you know what long ago she was here in our building, a couple times actually. So it's interesting that Fellowship of Eight is still around, right, Juanita? Yeah, Juanita Dixon back there. She was part of that group. Didn't know Juanita that well at the time, but after that trip, I knew her, and I was glad that she was on that trip. I took my three kids, and so four of the Fellowship of Eight was me and my three kids. I don't know how I did it. Other than God, helped. But the four men, one would be my son, and then Chico and Bob and myself, we were in a room in the house, the mission house, and they would remember that every morning we would have morning devotions. We used T.D. Jakes' book, So You Call Yourself a Man, And over the 9 days that we were there, every morning we were challenged in different areas of our life. As I thought about those devotions each day on that trip, and the condition of the Japanese people, there were some strong similarities that seemed to come to mind. And then as I reflected a little bit more on that trip back then, I began to realize that many of these similarities that I was seeing there would also fit right here at home. And so today, I would like us to look closer at this story here in Acts chapter 3. And after reading our story, I want us to ask and answer four questions that will help us learn several valuable lessons about living the Christian life here on this earth. So take your Bibles if you care to read from them, or read on the screen back here behind me if you wish. But we're going to start in verse 1. Some people ask what translation is up here. It's the New International. But if you brought something other than that, feel free to read from your own Bibles here today. Luke is our writer. He's the historian, and he writes, "One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, 'Look at us.' So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him." All right. Nice little story. A lot of people read it, move on, don't really make any application. Always two questions you have to ask after you read a passage of Scripture like this is, so what? You just read a story, so what? Well, you got to dig into it a little bit. What did this story mean? And then you need to ask, what now? What am I going to do? I hope these four questions will help you do just that here today. The first question that we need to ask is, do you have any lameness in your life? Do you have any lameness in your life? The lame man, according to our text, was brought to the gate called Beautiful. He was crippled, and because he was in that condition, he needed special care. While other men walked in and out of the temple area, this man had to be carried to the temple gate, according to our text, every day. Please note here in the story, first of all, there was nothing wrong with this man in many other areas of his life and of his body. He could see. He could hear, he could touch, he could speak, he could move his arms. I can picture that he was able to move his upper torso. In fact, there was only one thing wrong with this man at this gate. His ankles had no strength. He could not walk. If there is something wrong in only one area of life, however, and that area of weakness is severe enough, a person's entire life, interesting, can be affected. The operation of a person's life, the function, that is, the activity of that life, can be so impacted that it will feel to that person as if everything has gone wrong, even though it may just be one little thing. That was the case with our lame man here. Only one thing was wrong with him, but that one thing created a whole life problem for him. Seems like he had never walked from birth, it says. On the eighth day of our trip to Japan, Kevin Boone, who was the missionary that we went to visit on that particular occasion, took our fellowship of eight to go visit what they called the Big Buddha, statue that was about an hour from his home there in Japan. We got there, and as I watched hundreds of people come and worship this false god, I thought about this first point in relationship to the Japanese people. The Japanese people are some of the nicest people that I've ever met on a field. The Japanese people are kind, polite, helpful, humble to a T in many ways. And yet, the Japanese people have one major problem. Most of them believe in a false god. They are putting their faith in a statue. I could see this with my own eyes. They were putting their faith in a statue that is rusting and falling apart and deteriorating. That's what I saw. And because their faith is in an idol, most of the people of Japan will not have eternal life with God in heaven. So sad. Perhaps for many Japanese people, only one thing is wrong in their life, but that one thing has created an eternal problem that they will have forever. So what about you here today? Do you have any lameness in your life here today? I would venture to say that most of us here this morning, whether we want to admit it or not, whether we like it or not, have a weakness of some sort in our life that keeps us from functioning as a whole person. Could be physical, could be spiritual, or both. And what do most of us do with that weakness? I want you to really think about it. What do we do with it? Answer? Usually we deny it. And we pass by others who are lame because we don't have either the courage or the fortitude or the compassion that it takes to stop and maybe help someone else who may even have some of the problems we have. We may not have a big Buddha in our life as our problem, but there is a weakness or lameness that each of us have, that incapacity for us to, an incapacity that keeps us from growing stronger in the Lord, I believe. Folks, when are we going to quit trying to kid ourselves in this area? We each have a need for God's healing power within our life. Others have needs, and they need for us to help them, I think, experience God at work in their life. Yes, we will all be lame at the gate some gate at some point in our lives and in some areas of our life. But the good news, and there is good news here this morning, the good news is that God sends people to the gate where we are, like a Peter and John. Let's not forget the characters in our story. It was not accidental that this man was healed and that these two men were sent on a mission that day. They didn't know who it was until they got there, but God did. I would suggest to you that you watch for that person in your life, that person that God sends to you. I've been in that conversation with so many people because something happens and all of a sudden I'm involved in their life. And I always look at them at some point along that journey and I say, do you think this is an accident? Do you think that I just happened to just show up unannounced? And they don't know quite how to answer that question because they've never been asked it. And I'll look right at them. I said, this is no accident. I'm telling you. God put me here this day to talk to you about whatever it is. We need to watch for those kind of people. Look for that person that at least will come. And be very aware that this is maybe the more important lesson here. And be very aware that you may be the one that God will send to help somebody else. Now, as mentioned, Pablo's not in our service, is he? No, he's not. I was at the funeral. He told me he was going to be here today. And I realize that there's a lot of things go on his plate now. But, you know, at the last elders meeting I was at, I think we added up, we have 22 widow and widowers in this church. Yeah. We took a few away and we thought, oh, that's great. But then we got to add a few. I thought we were under 20, but no, we're above 20, 22. Now, the reason I mention that is to tell you that Pablo is not a member in this church, but he's been in this church more than any other church in the last couple of years on a regular basis when he was coming, when he could come. He works on Sunday. That is a problem. But here's my point. There's 22 ministers in this church that can minister to that man. 22. I know widows and widowers don't always think of themselves as ministers, but God could probably use you when someone loses a spouse. Yeah, that's how that works. Be very aware when someone comes. Be very aware when God calls you to maybe help someone who's at the gate. And that brings us to our second question here this morning. When you're at the gate, what are you expecting? Have you ever asked that question in this story? What was the lame man expecting as he went to the gate? He was carried to that gate, according to our text, every day. And he went there, it tells us the reason, he went there seeking alms, money, offerings. He was not looking for healing. He was not looking for a miracle. He was just looking for money. As our Fellowship of Eight visited a Buddhist temple. Now, a big Buddha is one thing. That's a statue. But then we went to a number of temples on this trip. And as we went to our first temple, I wanted to know what it was that Japanese people expect at their gate. We saw men carrying a dragon on sticks. big long dragon, because it was on sticks. They would do like this, and the dragon would go up and down. I think we've seen pictures of this, movies of this, where a dragon is moving with lots of people holding sticks, and as they go through the street, that's what we saw. It looked like, from a distance, something you would see at Disney World, something particularly for kids, something entertaining, but as we got closer to the temple and where this dragon was moving around in the street there, we could see that this was not entertainment. It was not something just for kids. Now, kids were there, but it wasn't just for kids. We saw adults by the thousands watching and hoping that they would get close enough to touch that dragon, which then would bring them, they thought, some good luck. There was an incense station, and this is where people would come and light some incense, and they wave it around themselves, cover themselves in the smoke, which was, by their teaching and tradition, that would cleanse them of their impurities and their wrongdoings before they would enter the temple, their temple. And as you enter the temple area, which we were allowed to do, there was a large metal box right there at the entrance with bars across it, and that's where people would throw a coin or two in, fold their hands afterwards, and you could see their lips moving, and we were told that they're asking, praying to Buddha for a special blessing because of the offering that they put in the box. As I reflected on these first sights and sounds that I saw in a country I had never been in before, I began to wonder if we are any different in our expectations when we're at our gate. So let me ask you here this morning, what do you want when you go to church? Yeah, ask that question. Why are you here today? Why did you get up this morning? What is it that you seek? I was surprised that when we were there, that they allowed us to walk. Most of their temples were kind of open, where you could walk in, walk out. It wasn't behind closed doors. And we were allowed to do that. They could see we were tourists and guests, and I think they were hoping we'd throw some money in the box, you know, as we went in. But we could see what was going on inside those temples as they were worshiping their false god. And the thought came to me while I was inside one of their temples, what if a Japanese person who deeply believed in Buddha was to visit one of our worship centers, what would be his or her thought of what we do? What would they observe? What comments would they make? Would he take note that we who claim that God's Word is our only source of authority for our lives is not carried by most people in that worship center? And that some who do have their Bibles don't seem to ever open them? Would our visitor note that when we are singing and praising God and singing courses unto the Lord, that many don't even open their mouths during that time? Would our visitor note that when it came to the preaching of God's Word, that moment when the true God of the universe, as we believe it, is trying to speak to us, would our visitors see everyone listening intently to every word? Or would he or she see people talking during the service or passing notes to one another or people getting up and down or leaving the service? And depending on where they sat in this worship center, would he or she be able to see and hear the message? Or would he be distracted by the other sounds and sights of the service? Now, we were in a church in Japan. And as I worshiped in that church on the one Sunday that we were there, we were there 9 days, but over a weekend, we were in a church building, and it was a small group, a small room. There were about 20 adults in that worship service. Tim Turner was the preacher of the day, not the missionary we supported, but one that was there working with Kevin Boone. He began to preach the word in Japanese, of course, and I tried to encourage Tim by listening and looking closely at the scripture that he had given us before the message. He gave us the scripture to read on our own. Of course, I didn't understand a word that Tim spoke at all because it was all Japanese. But I knew what he was trying to do. He was preaching from God's word. He was trying to convince some present that day that they needed to change their lives for Christ. And for that reason alone, I felt that I needed to give that preacher my full attention in that moment. Well, no sooner did Tim get started, and a woman who had brought her little baby with her began to give her full attention to the baby in the service. I saw other women turning and looking when she did that, and those other women gave their attention to that little baby. Then a man right behind the baby, I was kind of in that row, I could see what was happening. The man right behind the baby took out his car keys, and right in the middle of that morning message, he began to shake those keys right in that baby's face to entertain the baby, to keep that baby happy. I can almost assure you that that man, that mother, and perhaps a couple of the women on that Sunday that were there did not fully hear the message that God was trying to communicate to them through the message of Tim Turner. Why? Because they were distracted. Come on. Perhaps they came to church that day expecting just alms instead of maybe a miracle taking place in their life. It's an important question for us to ask ourselves, though. Who are we going to church to see or hear? Why? Why did we make all the effort to be here this morning? If we are going to church just to play with the babies in the nursery or to hear someone sing a special or to just talk with our friends, then maybe we are making the same mistake that the lame man made when he was carried to the gate called Beautiful. He was looking for the wrong thing. He was seeking only alms. He wasn't looking for the healing that he needed for his lameness. For a period of time, I was very heavily involved in our youth group ministry here in the church. And there was one young lady that was exceptional in her gift of bringing people, her friends. Better than any, she did more than all the other youth group put together. It was incredible how she could just invite and people would follow her. you know, and at her invitation. And she would meet them, and there'd be three, four, five kids, new faces all the time because she would invite them. And I thought that was just so great until I saw then the end of the story. All these friends of hers, mostly girls that she invited, would come and they'd sit right over here in this area. And as soon as the sermon started, two things usually happened. A lot of talking going on. And if there wasn't a lot of talking, she'd get them all up, whether it be one, two, three, four, five, and walk them to our nursery. And they'd be back there in the nursery playing with the kids and just doing whatever. I mean, they were helpful when they went back there, but I'm just saying, well, what am I saying? I went right to her and I said, what are you doing? You are the best young person in our youth group to bring strangers to this church. You bring them almost regularly, but when you get them here, you don't let them hear God's word. You don't let them hear a sermon. You are in their face. You are writing notes. You're talking. You're getting them all up. You're taking them out of the building when they need to be hearing God's word. What's going on? Well, preacher, come on now, you know. Some of them don't want to be. She said it. Some don't want to be here to hear a sermon. They came to see me. Yeah, but you have to help. You got to be responsible here. And we went over and over and back and forth on this, but she got the message, I think, over time. And we got to be careful. We just got to be careful that we're not distracting other people from hearing. When you go to church, we should be going with an expectation that God is going to speak to our hearts and heal our lameness. And we're all lame. We are all sick with sin problems. We all need help. This is why we call this a hospital for sinners. We come to get help. And we need to help each other while we're here. And that brings me then to my third question that comes out of our story, and that is, are you stuck? Are you stuck at the gate? Bet you never asked that question when you read this passage. Our text indicates clearly that the lame man was laid daily at the gate that was so beautiful, it had beautiful as its name. Interesting. If a person has an ugly problem, it matters very little that he is in a beautiful place. A person with an ugly problem has very little ability to enjoy beauty and to appreciate it. And yet, that's what that lame man was doing every day. We visited several Buddhist temples when we were in Japan, and every one, without exception, they were gorgeous. They were beautiful. Every worship center, every temple. I did not walk into one that was ugly, torn down, run down. No. Very beautiful. And as I walked around each of those temple areas, I could not help but to think that the Japanese people are like this lame man. They are stuck at the gate. Their temples are beautiful and gorgeous, and yet the Japanese people cannot truly enjoy the blessings of God or the blessings of heaven one day because they have put their faith and trust in a false god. But I want you to notice one other thing that might slip your attention here in our story. And it applies here today. Please note that the lame man was living in the promised land. Yet, he had very little ability to receive the fullness of the promises that others were receiving. As a lame man, he was not allowed into the temple area. Outside, yes, but not inside. According to Jewish law, his condition made him unworthy to participate in the rituals that others could. And so this lame man, in his crippled condition, was stuck. Yes, stuck at the gate. I would suggest that there are many in the church today who live in the promised land of the church age. That's where we are. But they're stuck at the gate. They are just close enough to the church to know what's going on, yes, to know who's who and what's being preached, and they are not all the way into the body of Christ, so they cannot fully experience God's power and provision within their lives. In other words, they too, in some ways, are stuck at the gate where they are. Some of them even know how to kneel and when to raise their hands. They know the songs and the courses that we sing, the precise time of service, when it starts and when it ends. They've heard more invitations than they can count. They know all of the protocols. They take all the acts of worship in stride, but from a distance. But they never get all the way into the place where they can receive the full blessings that God can give. Are you stuck at the gate today? Not sure? Don't know? Well, let me help you. There in your bulletins, you have an outline. Actually, a guideline. Let's call it a guideline, not an outline. And in this guideline, you might find that there are some things here. I would tell you that you are the person I'm describing here if you fall into any of these categories here. You're not receiving the full blessings that God can bless you with or what this church can do if you fall into any of these kind of categories. So here, let's read them. Take them in the spirit that I give them here today. If you are not participating in all the services of this church each week, you are not getting all the blessings that this church can offer you. Just know it. I think we play games in this area, and some people want to suggest that they can get all the blessings they need in one service. I tell them no. It's not designed that way. Number two, if you're not involved in a regular, ongoing ministry here in this church, then you're not getting all the blessings that this church can offer or God. Number three, if you're not sharing your tithes and your offerings with this church and only giving God leftovers, whatever that is, then you're not getting all the blessings that this church can offer you. If you come to church and have no real desire to hear healing words from God and then to apply them to your own life, then you're not getting all the blessings that this church can offer you. If you do not have several close Christian friends here in this body that you can call in a time of need, then you're not getting all the blessings that this church can offer to you. If you do not pray for, invite, and encourage your non-Christian friends to come with you to church, then you're not getting all the blessings that this church can offer to you. And if you have a family and they are not all members and you're not worshiping and praying together as a family each Lord's Day, then you're not getting all that this church can offer to you. There it is. Just a guideline, not all-encompassing, Just think about some of those. And I would challenge you that I know many who are not in any of these categories. And I'll stack them in their life and where they are right now against anything that someone would say just the opposite. I don't need this, I don't need this, I don't need that. There are so many blessings that Christians give up. I don't think they realize what they're giving up, but they give them up because they have fallen prey to the pressures of the world, of society, of their personal lives, and they don't give God, they don't make God first, and thus other things don't fall into place accordingly. All right, just for your, I put that as an insert because I wanted you to be able to have something to take home to look. Yes, the lame man was stuck at the gate until what? That's the good news of the story. Until what? Until he got healing from God. Only God is able to truly give you the strength and the power that you need to make a total commitment to Him. And that brings us into our final question. We end on this today. Has anyone lifted you up lately? Look at verse 6 and 7 again. I love this part of the story, but nobody ever talks about it. Right after Peter told the lame man to rise up and walk, it seems, if you're just reading the story at face value, it seems that the words themselves had no visible effect on this man. That's what it seems like. Now again, I wasn't there, but I'm just kind of reading it, trying to understand it. You may hear a sermon and in your mind say, amen, that was great, and then find that nothing changes in your own life. People in great need all around you may hear about the love and mercy of God, the blood of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and yet not experience any of it for themselves. Please note that Peter, I'm just reading the text now, notice that Peter reached down and took this lame man by the right hand and lifted him up. And it was as Peter pulled this man to his feet that the lame man's feet and ankle bones received the strength in that process. This man who had never walked a day in his life didn't need any help walking. No, he only needed help getting up on his feet. Upon rising, what does he do on his own without... He never walked a day in his life. He doesn't have any practice here. And yet when he's brought to his feet and the miracle takes place in his life, upon rising, he was standing and walking and leaping for joy. Nobody had to show him how to do it. But he needed some help getting up. Oh, yeah. I see that so clearly in this story. Many who are stuck at the gate need for you and for me to speak the right name that can truly heal them of their lameness. And you will discover, if you have not already learned this, that many will still need for you to reach down and take them by the spiritual hand and lift them to their spiritual feet. It is a hand reached out in love and compassion that will help them to stand again. Practically, you might, as we end here today, practically you might be saying to yourself, well, how do we do that? There's not one right answer. I'm sad Pablo wasn't here today. I just took him at his word. But I know there's all kinds of things going on in his life right now. But I was at that funeral. They didn't really explain the time of the service very well. We all thought it started at 2. Actually, it started at 3. But we figured it out. What started at 2 was the fellowship time. Probably for us, usually that we would call that the viewing. They just did the viewing an hour before the service because the casket was open. There were lots of people there. I saw lots of people come. Say things, hug family members. Anybody that's lost somebody knows how important it is. You know, I think back when I've lost somebody, I don't remember a word, hardly a word that anybody spoke to me. Now, I know people spoke to me, but I can't hardly remember a word. But you know what I remember? They were there. They came up. They hugged me. Put their arm around me. I remember that. They said some things too, but I can't remember those words. But you know, today as I look back, I don't know if I needed to hear those words as much as I just needed to know. Someone was reaching out with a hand, a right hand. Sometimes that's all it takes, just a little bit of encouragement. I put my arm around Pablo. Didn't say much because I didn't think I had to. I don't think he needed to hear any more words. He probably had more words than he could process in a lifetime in that 1 hour. But I went up and put my arm around him. Looked right at him and said, "I'm with you, brother. I'm praying for you." That's how we do it. We keep reaching out. We offer somebody some help. A group of us went over to a house. I knocked on the door. April Kelly. Hadn't seen her in so long. I didn't know that she would even be there. She answered the door. She says, "I'm on my way out to go to work." I said, "I only need a second." She wasn't sure why we were there, but my hand was out. I said, "April, the South Haven Christian Church weed eating mowing ministry team is here." Kind of shook her head and her eyes. "What?" I said, "We really don't have that kind of ministry, but we got a team here that wants to minister. Can we do something in your yard here? Do whatever you want." "Yes, please." "Do we need to get have at it? Throw anything away that you want to throw away?" I mean, she was in need of help. Single mom, working two jobs, trying to pay her bills, no time to do anything else hardly. And we went in there. All of us went in there with our right hand. Can we help? Can we get you to your feet? One day, maybe we'll hear how that all played out. But I'm telling you, I could see relief. I could see thank you without even hearing the words. That's how we do it. We just go. Sometimes we play it too safe. Sometimes I think with her, we were playing maybe a little safe. But I'm glad we went. I'm glad we did something because I think she was encouraged. She's not been in church in I don't know how long. So we went and met some needs that she had. You're here today. So my question is, do you have any lameness in your life? Do you need some help? Do you need a right hand? Are you bold enough to maybe mention that to somebody? Maybe say, hey, can you pray for this or can you pray for that? I'm struggling right now in my life. I need help in this area, in that area. Can somebody just offer up a little prayer on my behalf? Yeah. I hate to say it, but the old saying's true. The squeaky wheel gets some oil. And that's true in the church. Sometimes you got to just speak up a little bit. That's why being at all the services of the church are so important, because one of the blessings of Wednesday night is that you can share prayer burdens, prayer needs, prayer concerns, so that this church can be praying for you. And we pray. I don't know about other churches in our community, but this church still prays as a church, collectively. Thank God. Wednesday night, come on out. Good to have you. As we come to our time of invitation here today, each Lord's Day, of course, we extend this invitation. And I think an invitation is also an invitation to anybody here, any member of this church that would like us to be aware of something. You, by coming down and telling us that I have this need or concern in my life right now, and can the church pray for me? Today we will pray for you, but I guarantee you we have prayer warriors in this church that will keep on praying for you, and they will check up on you occasionally and say, well, how's it going? What else can we pray for you? Let's be united. Let's be strong. Let's be a family that cares. And I think we are. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. But let's keep on being the example that we can be to others so that they don't lose hope. And I'll close on this thought. I would like to think that I'm part of a church that if I ever do get stuck at the gate, that there will be a Peter and John coming. Oh, yeah. Hurts my heart when I hear people say that they were part of a church for so long and then something happens and nobody came. Nobody showed up. Nobody called. No Peter or John ever came. I hope that will never be true of our church. Because we do get stuck at the gate occasionally. And we do need a little bit of encouragement. And we do need some help. And I'm just glad when Peter and John are coming. Here to help. Here to do what I can do. If you need to make a decision today, there's your question as we end. What about your life here today? If you need to make a decision for Christ, why not today? The day of salvation, the Bible says, is every day. It's every day that someone decides to make Jesus Lord and Savior of their life. If you've not done that, why not today? As we stand and sing our hymn of decision. In your bulletins, chock full of all kinds of goodies. Never say you don't get anything given to you here at this church. This bulletin is loaded today, so every piece that's in this bulletin is, there's a rhyme and reason why it's there for you. I hope that you will peruse through it, not throw away anything that can be used. Now, the big day that we've been waiting for. It is our final Soul Sunday of the year. We've had six this year, and this is our last one. It's called Guest Sunday. And if you hope that a guest will come, let me tell you, the rule of thumb is you got to ask about six. Get six. You ask six in earnest, and they're thinking about it, talking about it, you'll get maybe one. So it's not a good return, but it's what you got to do. And I've invited my six, and the one I'm hoping is Dr. Fabian, Michael Fabian. I was almost ready to mail his invitation, typed it up, put a flyer with it, put it in the envelope. I was about to put the address. I said, man, I don't know what Twin Lakes address is. I'll just drop it off tomorrow. And I'm glad I did. Walked in there, knocked on the door. The door was closed. Usually it's open. I knocked on the door. Nobody answered. I said, oh, what's going on here? Guy come up behind me and said, what are you doing? Nobody in there. I said, what? I said, wasn't there North Florida's surgery center in this building? Yeah, but they've been gone. Moved. Back in July. What? So I didn't know that. So I'm glad I did a personal invitation there, and they told me where it was, and it, I just happened to be able to go right by there on my way out of town and dropped it off at the new place. And but I've asked a number of people, and I'm hoping that one, two may show up. And I hope that you have one or two that may show up. And if we do, it will be our biggest Sunday of the year. I hope we end that way. And the flyer, though, is so important. I've given that to several people who don't know much about our church, where we're located. I said, just follow the map. Just follow the map. Can I bring my family? I said, absolutely. You know, I invite one person. It's the husband or the wife sometimes. Can I bring my... Yes, bring the whole family. And so we'll see where that goes. But flyers are helpful. People thank me always. Oh, this will help. You know, help me find you. All right. This one, of course, needs no more announcing. Just know that you have one more week left in the examination process that we have for every ordained leader in our church. There's a two-week examination time that every member of this church we ask to take serious that time, that period, praying for, thinking about. Because when we ordained our guys here, elder or deacon, it's a life appointment. As long as they're in our church, they will be a deacon or an elder. And we don't want to take it lightly. And we don't want you to not have a chance to weigh in, think about it, and decide, is this someone I can support and pray for and be behind in the area of, in Joe's situation, in the area of deacon. All right, and he will be ordained as a deacon in about two more weeks, I believe. And so you've got one more week, though, to think about it through next Sunday, and then we go from there. All right, this Wednesday is part of Soul Sunday. We postpone our last Wednesday for the first Wednesday so we can have it as close to our Soul Sunday. That's just the way the dates worked. But this Wednesday, 6 o'clock, we hope that you come out for dinner. Fellowship dinners are good for a small church like ours to get close and be close and hear the needs of our body. But then at 7, instead of a Bible study, we're going to be praying for our guest. Bring a name or two. Let's pray for those that we've talked to. Let's pray that God gets a hold of them. God convicts. God motivates and brings them. God answers prayer. God can do this. I know this is God's will, so I think God will do, short of violating the free will, God will get this person's attention if you bring the name. That's Wednesday. We need your help there. All right. And then everything just, there's just so many things going on here. Rick Savage, he's on here. Yeah, the 12th. I'm looking at the calendar here. That's a Saturday, 11 o'clock here. Please don't confuse. I've been holding off on the food sign up for the funeral, not to get it confused with this Sunday. Until today. Now there are two. There are two signups out there. You just got to look close. I'm encouraging you to look close that you understand that one's for this coming Sunday, dinner right after our morning service, and then the other one will be for Saturday the 12th, right after the service at 11 here at the church. All right, so keep that in mind if you will. So we got Saturday, the celebration of life service. Sunday, we have Joe's ordination service. And the Wednesday before, well, no, that Wednesday is this Wednesday. He's getting ready for that. Now, anything else that we need to talk about? Any other announcements? Stacy, did you get some pictures? I asked at the last minute. Okay. Do you see... one, there's three of one man and one of the other. Okay, two. Yeah, sometimes they don't all come through. All right. We had a group of six. Six men went fishing yesterday. It was pouring rain, I think, at all of our houses at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock is when we were going to meet for fishing. I am proud of those six men because we left our homes in faith. Yes, I think it was pouring rain at every one of our houses, I believe, if I understood it. And if not at their house, on their way to the fishing place. It was raining cats and dogs. You could have been tempted to just go home. And I need Chico up there, if you got him. All right. So, all right. Turn the lights off if you can, because it's hard to see, I think. All right. Now, yeah, I got to explain a little bit. All right. So, out of faith, we all show up, and about 3:15, guess what happened? It stopped. And it sprinkled off and on a couple times, but nothing bad. And we had about 2 hours of, I think, what would be good, what we thought was going to be good fishing. Now, Chico won with that. I don't know how, you know, on my ruler, I don't know if that would have even reached the end of my ruler, you know, but 12-inch, that wasn't a 12-inch fish. But I believe it was our biggest fish caught for the day, and he brings home that honor of catching the biggest, but he was not the one who caught the most. Now, the next picture. Trip is not with us, but our newest member. Now, can you see the fish in his hand? That's because he caught four, but they were all about the size of the one that is in his hand. Now, the next one's a little better. All right, so now you can see he caught one, but it was small. It was very small. And so our fishing was not the best. But the fellowship was good, and I know several people. Nigel's not with us either. He was out there. I don't know if y'all know this, but at this fishing hole is where we met Nigel a year ago we met Nigel at this fishing hole on one of these fishing trips. Chico met him, invited him to church. Next thing we know, not only is at church, but he comes and joins the church, and bam, bam, and it's there. So you just never know if your fishing day is going to be with fish or if it's going to be with fishers of men. And Nigel was there and visiting the scene of the crime, you know, where we met him for the first time. All right, right there. Yes, I saw him do that. Yeah, you never do know. And I know Chico had an opportunity to talk to someone fishing right down from us, a lady that was there with two kids, and invited her. And so, you know, our trips are just not all about fish. And Trip, our newest member in our church, he gets the honor of catching four, about that size. And that's why, go back to the picture before of Trip. See, that's why he has his hand up like this. I caught four, you know, and he has that little one in his hand there. So anyway, all right, that's a little family sharing with you. And I was just glad that six of us were able to fight the elements a little bit, and got surprised when we actually got out there. No rain for 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and that was just a good day for us. So, all right, anything else before we're dismissed? Anything about the boxes? Are we all good out there?
We are. We got there coming out last week, and we are
All right. Well, wait a second. When you say online, they pick out, but who's putting all those things in a box? They do it at their play. Oh.
Yeah. You pick all the items, whatever items you want to use, you pick those from there.
Ah. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. That's new for me. So is that new? Is that new just this year, or have they been? Yeah. So this ministry is just getting more and more focused on what people need. So that's good. All right. Birthdays. Shane, of course, is not with us here today. And but Trish, is it your birthday? I just want you to know. Nobody pointed at you. You know, and if that didn't come up, I wouldn't have known. Oh, did you point at her? I didn't see that. See, Becky is right in line, so I can't see the hand. But let's close with what we do with our family members here. Happy. All right, thank you for coming. I just know that in our last Soul Sunday, the Sunday before, we were down to 36 people. I don't know what happened at that time, but we got a little better situation here, more people here. And I just think that next Sunday is going to be a big day. I hope you come with expectations. I hope you come with God in mind, that He can do miracles. I'm going to have some non-Christians I know with me, and I just hope that the message of the day and the fellowship of the day just allows us to really make an impact for God's kingdom here in this church. And I hope that this week you're bathing this day in as much prayer as possible. See you on Wednesday if possible, and let's stand. We'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for a beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you for the message of the hour. Thank you for sending Peter and John's into our life. People willing to come, willing to extend a hand, an arm, a word of encouragement in some special way to help us, Father, to not get comfortable at the gate, but to get through the gate. And to receive the full blessings that you have in store for us. Just bless the rest of our day now as we depart. Keep us safe on these roadways. I pray that doors can be opened to us this week as we prepare for our guest Sunday. And the ones that have already been invited, I pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to draw them all week long. Remind them all week long that there is a special day that they can be part of and that they can come to that could change their life forever. Thank you again for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's close with this closing chorus. Soon and very soon.